Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace this day from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Our text this morning comes from the gospel lesson just read, Matthew 11, especially verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So far the text. And our theme is rest for your souls. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, as you have given us this privilege to come into your presence in this special way, in this special place, in this special time, quiet our hearts and minds so that we may be open to you as you come to us through your word. And by means of that word, O Holy Spirit, strengthen us in faith, encourage us in love, and guide us in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ever wonder why people don't do much partying at a cemetery? Ever wonder? Well, one reason could be the word itself, cemetery. Cemetery comes from a Greek word that means sleeping place. And after all, who wants to wake the dead? Well, truth be told, there is only one who can wake the dead, and that one is Jesus. And it will happen on that last day when Jesus returns. His return will signal the final judgment described in Revelation chapter 20, when all the dead will be raised and stand before him who is seated on that great white throne of judgment. It is with that day in mind that Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, and you will find rest for your souls." Come to me, Jesus said. Who's he speaking to? Well, he's speaking to all who labor and are heavy laden, who in light of God's judgment are carrying a double burden that will lead them to hell if they cannot rid themselves of it. And that double burden is sin and the realization that they, of themselves, can do absolutely nothing to rid themselves of that sin. You can almost hear the echo of Paul's words read in the epistle lesson. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Perhaps some of you have heard and remember that old joke that asked the question, "What do you get when you play a country and western record backwards?" Well, the answer, you get your job back, you get your wife back, you get your pickup back, you get your dog back, and you even get your sobriety back. You know, while that's a joke to many people, for those who are weary and heavy laden because of their sin, it's no joke at all. It's a reality that they have lost everything because of their sin. They've tried for the nth time to take this off, to find peace and rest in the presence of God within their own hearts and lives, within their family, at work, wherever they might be. Oh, they might find something that works for a little while, but bang, right back. And that burden is there again. What are they going to do? The dumb, foolish, stupid, and at times mean and ornery things they have done hangs on them like some kind of oppressive yoke they cannot remove. Well, who are these people? Well, since all have sinned, Paul tells us, and fall short of the glory of God, it's potentially all of us. And yet, not all realize or see the truth of the double burden of sin and judgment they bear. Jesus spoke of this in a parable in Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 7. He said, we read, Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus went on to say, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, declared not guilty of his sins, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves, like that Pharisee, believe they can come to God on their own terms, being good enough through their obedience to the law. Oh yes, they're not perfect, they understand, but they're better than most, especially that tax collector over there. You ever felt that way? You ever acted that way? You ever said that? Well, I think if you're honest, the answer is yes, we all have. Now, those who humble themselves like that tax collector know that when it comes to God's law, they are bad enough that they all deserve from God His present and eternal punishment, just as we confessed this morning in our confession of sins. When Jesus said that the tax collector, not the Pharisee, went down to his house justified, declared not guilty of his sins, I'm sure that created quite a stir among those people who were listening. Because among those who were listening would have been fellow Pharisees, all thinking that, yeah, in this story, Jesus is going to say, the Pharisee, after all, he's better, isn't he? But when he said no, it was the tax collector. Wow! Perhaps it's doing the same thing for some of you today. You're thinking, I'm pretty hot stuff. I know I'm not perfect, but I do a pretty good job. I'm better than them. I'm better than her. I'm better than she. And yet Jesus says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. So let's think in terms of what Jesus is telling us in this text and how it applies not only to this situation, but also and more importantly to your situations as well. Jesus not only said, come to me, but he also said, take up my yoke and learn from me. What are we to learn from him? And I'm going to take my yoke off because, Lord willing, I'm more humble than I am proud. I recognize my sin and realize, as I shared with the children, that it is only through Jesus that I have rest for my soul. And so when Jesus said, come to me, take up my yoke and learn from me, what is it that we are to learn from Jesus? Well, he tells us we are to learn that he is gentle and lowly of heart. He is gentle in that he came, as we read in John 3:17, not to condemn the world, but so that the world through him might be saved. Oh yes, there will be that rod of judgment, but that is yet to come. And so now he comes to you gently through the gospel word, as you have seen yourself in the mirror of the law, and you understand the sinner that you are because of the sinful nature that inhabits all of us. and you cry out as Paul did, "O wretched man that I am, O wretched woman that I am, O wretched child that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the gentleness of Jesus. Now, he's not only gentle, but he is lowly of heart. That is, he is humble. And we read, for example, in Philippians chapter 2, that Jesus who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And this humility was prophesied in the Old Testament lesson in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This is what we are to learn as we come to Jesus, that he is gentle and lowly of heart. And it is out of his gentleness and humility that he went to the cross, that he bore your sins and mine in his body, so that the sacrifice demanded by the Father would be made once for all, so that there is now no more sacrifice for sin. It is only through faith in Jesus that we can remove that burden of our sin and the fear of judgment and experience the rest that God has for us in Christ. And so that is what we learn from him. What is this yoke he invites those who labor and are heavy laden to take up? Unlike the oppressive yoke of their sins that they can never on their own accord remove and be free of, the yoke that Jesus offers us is that of forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, there is salvation and eternal life. They come to him. They learn of him. They trust in him. And in that coming and taking and learning, there is a great exchange. Jesus takes their yoke upon himself and in exchange gives them his yoke that is easy, not burdensome. This is the rest he promises to all who come to him. Now, this is the rest that many of you, hopefully all of you, know and are very thankful for. But we must understand this. What Jesus is talking about here is not just relative to our salvation, but it's also important relative to our daily lives as Christians. This is not a one and done. This is a daily reality. For even though as saints, washed by the blood of Jesus, we still are sinners. We still are burdened and wearied by the guilt and consequence of our dumb, foolish, stupid, mean words and actions. And perhaps this is where some of you are right now, weary and burdened, bearing that load. And if so, I hope you can identify with a parishioner who went to his pastor one Sunday morning and he said, "It's a tough world out there, Pastor. I need to hear the gospel when I come to church. I really do." Why? Because it is in the gospel that God brings forth to you the truths of his love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, so that we could be set free from the burden of sin and death. We can be set free from the power and manipulation of the devil. We can live a new life, being new creatures, born again by water and the Spirit. Where are you in all of that? Is there a joy in your heart? Is there a joy in your life? Is there a joy in your word that gives expression of the fact that God has come into your life through this gospel and removed that burden and in its place given you the blessed gifts of forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation? If you're like me, the burdens and worries of life oftentimes smother the joy that we have in our hearts from Christ. And so this day, and each day, come to God, acknowledge your sin, and receive from Him the assurance that for the sake of His Son, your sins are forgiven. And so hear again, as if for the first time, those precious words of the gospel as Jesus invites you to come to Him, to learn from Him, to take up His yoke, and to receive from Him the rest He offers, the rest for your soul. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.